on the Stephen Foster acoustic discography, and this year we'll present a retrospective of Frank Guerrera, George Cregan. Frank Guerrera, an audio biography. Following in the tradition begun by baritone Lawrence Tibbett, American-born Frank Guerrera established an outstanding operatic career without ever studying outside the United States. He first gained national attention by winning the Metropolitan Opera auditions of the year in the spring of 1948, subsequently making his Metropolitan Opera debut as Escamillo in Bizet's Carmen on December 14, 1948, at the youthful age of 24, the youngest baritone ever to debut at the Met in a major role. But this was a unique voice that matured very early. Let's listen to Frank Guerrera at the age of 18 on a very primitive home recording, which he relinquished quite reluctantly to us, but we're going to listen to some of it. Recording was made when he was 18 years old. It shows a maturity far beyond his age and includes a high A flat, the highest note required for most operatic baritone roles. In a second, we'll listen to some other recordings that Frank Guerrera sent us, perhaps to compensate for the quality of that one. We have his Auditions of the Air tapes made in 1948. These are the winners of the Metropolitan auditions at that time, and this section is from Rigoletto, Si Vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
Soprano was Marilyn Cotlow, who was a co-winner that year. While these auditions were going on, there was somebody listening. His name was Arturo Toscanini. He'd been listening to them and was very impressed with Guerrero's voice, and he arranged for some special auditions. The result, Toscanini chose Guerrero for the role of Fanuel in Boito's opera Nerone. And this was for the Boito celebration at La Scala in Milan in June 1948. Guerrero's performance at La Scala was so successful, he was asked to remain and sing the role of Zorga in Bizet's Pearl Fishers and Manfredo in Montemezzi's L'Amore dei Tre Re, in which his vocal and acting abilities won high honors in that mecca of Italian opera. Toscanini considered Guerrero the equal of, and in some ways surpassing, Carlo Galeffi, the original Fanuel in the premiere, conducted also by Toscanini. Later, Toscanini showed further approval of Guerrero by choosing him for the role of Ford in the historic NBC broadcasts of Verdi's Falstaff in 1950. Frank Guerrero was born in 1923 in Philadelphia of Italian immigrant parents. In high school, he sang solos in the Glee Club and won a scholarship to the prestigious Curtis Institute, which he entered at 17. And there he studied with Metropolitan Opera baritone Richard Bonelli, and also with Mademoiselle Euphemia Giannini Gregory. 1943 through 1946 were spent in the United States Navy, after which he resumed studies at Curtis. He won a vocal contest to sing with the Philadelphia Pops Orchestra, and in 1947 was invited by Boris Goldovsky to sing in Mozart's Idomeneo at the Berkshire Festival. His first really professional appearance, however, was as Silvio in I Pagliacci with the New York City Opera on October 25th, 1947. In the ensuing years after his rather spectacular but deserved rise to fame, Frank Guerrero became a leading baritone with the Met, as well as becoming one of America's most popular singers. He appeared with most of the major U.S. opera companies, sang extensively throughout Canada, Mexico, and South America, and recorded for both RCA Victor and Columbia Masterworks. His annual coast-to-coast concert tours made him one of the most popular recitalists in America. The voice is rich, resonant, warm, and freely produced with a bit of an edge, which makes possible an infinite quantity of shading and subtle nuance to the interpretations.
from a full-throated dramatic climax to mezzo voce or haunting pianissimo tones, the voice is audible to the back of the house. In concert, he easily creates a rapport with his audience. The engaging smile, flashing dark eyes, and easy manner let you know immediately this is no stuffed shirt type of artist. His singing exemplifies his dedication to his art, infusing the proper emotion to each song, drawing the listener into the spirit of the piece, creating an empathy with his audience. Some of his concert reviews have read, "A joy to treasure in the memory," St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Guerrera hailed as perfect recitalist, Wyoming State Tribune. He had his audience completely in his hands, the Orlando Sentinel. Always thoughtful of his audience, during one concert he announced the score of the basketball game being played in the contiguous facility of the high school auditorium and received a roar of approval for his thoughtfulness. He is a splendid actor as well as a singer. Of his Amonasro and Aida, the Minneapolis Tribune said, "He is one of the finest actors on the opera stage and possesses in his dramatic voice the subtleties many singers lack." As Escamillo in Carmen, the Cincinnati Enquirer said, "He doesn't merely portray and sing the role, he is Escamillo." The audience literally stopped breathing. Of his Rigoletto, we quote, "It was Guerrera night. He dominated the stage, sending giant emotions across the footlights. His final cry of La Maledizione brought the audience out of their seats." A treasured souvenir of the role of Sharpless and Madame Butterfly was made possible by Otello Cerrone, who was a former prompter at the Metropolitan, who was once titled the Phantom of the Metropolitan Opera in a Saturday Evening Post article. He insisted for realism that Frank use a real letter with the words actually printed on it, although he knew the words. When Sharpless reads the fateful letter to Butterfly, "Finally I took the letter," Cerrone wrote, "and used it for many performances. Each time Butterfly would kiss the letter as scored. And I now have a letter with the lip prints of Albanese, Tibaldi, De Los Angeles, Kirsten, and Tucci. I can't even read the writing now, but the lip prints are immortal treasures." Every artist knows certain worries, concerns, and nervous strains when singing a new role for the first time. This was especially so for Frank Guerrera when he sang his first Simone Boccanegra. Leonard Warren was to baritones of his time what Crusoe was to an earlier time, a phenomenon, a colossus. To Frank Guerrera, Leonard Warren was a monumental artist with a voice like a marble column. With the tragic onstage death of Warren on March 4th, 1960, during a performance of the Forza del Destino, the members of the Met and opera world were stunned. Despite the confusion and sorrow, the Metropolitan General Manager Rudolph Bing called Frank, "I want you to sing the next Boccanegra on Tuesday in Philadelphia." To be asked to sing your first ever performance of a role which another artist had made his own, only 5 days after that artist's death, and in your hometown where your own special breed of admirers watch your every performance, this must have been nerve-wracking. With typical modesty, Frank referred to the time as stressful and bittersweet. Of the messages received before the performance was one of particular poignance and inspiration, a telegram of best wishes for your assumption of the role. The compassion and thoughtfulness were of special significance, for the sender was Agatha Warren, wife of the late baritone. Boccanegra became one of Frank's finest Verdi roles, for he brought to it special qualities of nobility, dignity, and tenderness. Frank thus became only the third baritone to sing Boccanegra at the Met. The other two were Lawrence Tibbett and Warren, and all three were American-born. Stand by with that. Boccanegra is one of the most challenging of Italian baritone roles, requiring an artist able to portray the full range of human emotions. Much of Guerrera's ability to do so is shown in these two excerpts. Boccanegra is speaking on matters of state with a young woman. At certain of her comments, he becomes curious. And finally, upon comparing lockets with a supposed Amelia Grimaldi, sings a duet of ecstasy and joy upon realizing she is his daughter, whom he had thought dead for 25 years. The soprano is Tinka Milanov. almost as good as Tibbetts, but you must remember that was live. Genoa was torn by political strife, and in the council chamber, the governing factions of plebeians and patricians are nearing a riot. Finally, the voice of Boccanegra, the doge, or ruler, overpowers the tumult, beginning, "Plebe patrici," he betreats them all for neglecting the greatness they could bring to Genoa, but would rather spill each other's blood. "I weep for you, piango su voi, for Genoa, for our people whose lives you neglect, and I cry peace, and I cry love." Singling out Paolo, the man who caused these problems, but not identifying him as such, Boccanegra says he knows who the villain is and says he needs Paolo's help to solve Genoa's problems. In a terrible voice, Boccanegra cries, "May he be accursed. Repeat it after me. E tu repeti il giuro." The terrified Paolo does so as the chorus repeats the curse. Guerrera's depiction of the many and changing moods is masterful, and his cry for the repetition of the curse is chilling. The singers in this live performance are Milanoff, Carlo Begonzi, Ezio Flagello, and Giorgio Tozzi. The veteran baritone Giuseppe De Luca told Frank after hearing him at a Toscanini rehearsal, "You have much more voice than I did at your age. Study diligently and learn to produce your voice properly, and you will sing all the major baritone Italian roles." De Luca's prediction was almost right, but Frank never did sing Barnaba and La Gioconda. On stage, he never sang Iago and Otello, or Renato in a Masked Ball, and the title role of Don Giovanni. There was also Michonnet in Adriana Lecouvreur and Wozzeck. He said that he would only do Wozzeck under certain ideal conditions, those being 1 year's preparation and 2 weeks' constant rehearsal. Looking over his repertoire, it can be seen that his career was quite full enough as it was. Frank retired after 29 years at the Metropolitan and moved his family to Seattle, where he teaches music and voice at the University of Seattle. He still sings thrillingly, and I'm sure John Gibbs, the music librarian of the Seattle University of Seattle, who is here, will attest to that. Let's listen next to selections from Otello, which is from a concert. Frank has been active in staging and directing operas there at the University of Seattle, and he's just finished playing Dr. Falke in the performances of Die Fledermaus, and spoke to us just before we left to come here, and he's here with his heart, and he has something to say on tape here for us as a special presentation at the end of these cassette fragments.
Oh!
Bravo, Verdi. God's richly blessed the life of Frank Ware and many of those whose lives he's touched. We hope it continues to be thus for many years to come. Frank has a special message on the tape for us here.
Hello, this is Frank Guerrera. I've been asked to say a few words about this discography and my career in general. Unfortunately, it is extremely difficult to talk about over 40 years of singing in such a short time. But there are some events which stand out in my mind quite vividly. For instance, winning the Metropolitan Opera auditions back in 1948. In those days, they gave you a contract to sing at the Met if you won, and the auditions were broadcast. I wasn't aware that Arturo Toscanini, the great Italian conductor, was listening to one of those broadcasts from his home up in Riverdale, New York. In any event, as a result of hearing me, he invited me to sing with him at La Scala in Milan that summer. So, there it was. I was making my debut at La Scala with Toscanini that summer, with a contract in my pocket to sing at the Met that fall. I was all of 25 years old. Talk about exciting times. My debut with Toscanini was in the opera Nerone by Boito. I played the part of Fanuel. I stayed on at La Scala that summer and sang two more operas, L'amore dei tre re and I pescatori di perle, or the pearl fishers. When it was time to make my debut at the Metropolitan, that December of 48, Edward Johnson, who was general manager at the time, said, "What will we do with Guerrera? He's just graduated the Curtis Institute of Music, and he's already sung at La Scala." Well, he decided to let me have the part of Escamillo, the Toreador in Carmen. It was a role which I subsequently repeated many times at the Metropolitan, including some 35 other leading baritone parts. Incidentally, it's interesting to note that during my 29 years at the Metropolitan, I sang under five general managers: Edward Johnson, Rudolf Bing, Goran Gentula, Skyler Chapin, and James Levine. During those years, I also used to travel to San Francisco each fall before the Met opened and sang with that wonderful opera company for some 16 seasons. Also during that time, I traveled all over the United States and gave countless recitals and concerts in every major and some minor cities. Well, this is now 1987, and about 8 years ago, I came out here to Seattle, Washington, to teach opera and singing at the University of Washington. I occasionally sing now and then at the university and here in Seattle. It's kind of fun to keep your hand in, or your voice in, whichever the case may be. It's been a wonderful career, and if I had it to do over again, it would be an instant replay. Thank you all for listening to some of it.
These notes and tapes were prepared by Bill Scharf, David Prosser, and yours truly. The slides were prepared by Ron Smith. Our thanks to Frank Guerrera for his extended support and materials, and our thanks to you and the ARSC staff here for their support technically and for your kind attention. Thank you.
Thank you, George Cregan. The Saturday session is recessed then. For lunch break, we'll be back at 1:30.